In our text assigned for this evening, it is a section of the final discourse from the Gospel of John. It is a prayer that Jesus prays for us, for those who would come to have a faith in him because of the gospel message that he was entrusting to his disciples. Before we turn to Jesus' prayer in John 17, would you join me as we pray? Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for the gift of your word on this Maundy Thursday. Our prayer is that it might take deep root in us. May our hearts be fertile ground for your word, and may you speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And my prayer is in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room might be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. John 17, verse 20, Jesus prays, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus began his prayer in verse 1 of chapter 17, praying for himself. Praying that God might sanctify him for the task at hand. You see, the shadow of the cross was bearing down. And Jesus prayed, first for himself, and then he prayed for his disciples. Those that he had poured into in 3 years of ministry and was about to entrust the gospel to. And he prayed for them because he knew what they were about to witness. And though he had tried to prepare them for what was about to come, there was no way their minds could ever comprehend that the one who the crowds had just shouted hosannas to was about to go to the cross and be executed. And then Jesus prays for us, for you, and for me. When was the last time you asked someone to pray for you? I suspect it was a pretty specific prayer, wasn't it? You had something you wanted prayed for. Jesus had a burden. And the one who knows more about prayer than anyone who's ever taken a breath of air on planet Earth prayed for us, for the church, for the believers who know and live the gospel. And he prayed with specificity, didn't he? It's interesting that he didn't pray for some things. I'm struck that he didn't pray for the things that I normally ask people to pray for me about. He didn't pray for the things that normally are on my prayer list for myself. He didn't pray for our comfort. He didn't pray that we would all be wealthy, that we would all have successful lives. Jesus, the cross, bearing down upon him, prayed a specific prayer for what he knew we needed. And it's not a prayer we normally pray for ourselves. But it gives us great insight to how Jesus intends for us to live as his followers. As Tim led us in our assurance of pardon, Jesus asked the question of the disciples after he washed their feet. He said, "Do you understand this? Do you understand this?" I think it's an appropriate question when we look at the prayer he prayed for us. Do you understand this? Jesus prayed for us, and he prayed that we might be one. Just as the Father was in him and he was in the Father, might we too be in him, that we might be one. That was a bold prayer in that day. It's a bolder prayer today for us, isn't it? For people who find themselves living in a world where unity and oneness oftentimes seems not even attainable. That's what Jesus prayed for. That we might be in him just as he is in the Father and the Father is in him. You see, that's what strengthened him when the cross was shadowing over him. That was his source of strength, his oneness. He was in community with the Father. And he prayed that we might be in that same community with him in us, so that we would be one. It strikes me that our prayers are often very self-focused, aren't they? But what does Jesus pray that we would be one, that we would be in unity for? In verse 22, "So that the world may believe that you have sent me." And then in verse 23, "Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Our unity that Christ prays for, our unity that Christ wants us to live into as a church, as believers, as people who represent Christ to our world, is so that it can be a witness for the gospel. For the gospel message that's foundation, and it is predicated, and everything flows out of love. For love to truly take root, we must be one. We must have unity, and that unity must be rooted in the triune God who is in us as followers of Christ. And it's from that love for one another, the way we treat one another, the way we care for one another, the way we care for the world, for God's creation, is the gospel being lived out, that the world may know. We're loved to the point of death on a cross, so the world may know of God's mercy and God's glory. Our message is Jesus died to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, and that death could not hold him, because come Sunday morning, the tomb is empty. And the message is, he is risen. But the gospel is more than words. The gospel is love lived out. It's love lived out in worship. It's love lived out in mission. It's love lived out in the transformational exercises that we do to become more like Christ. It is lived out as we care for the poor. It's lived out as we pray and work for peace. It is lived out with every breath we take, because that's God's mission for us as a unified people in Christ Jesus. Jesus prayed for us. Jesus prayed for those who would believe the gospel and be saved by it. Because the message is now entrusted to us. A world that longs to see unity, a world that longs to know what oneness can do, what love can transform, looks to Christ's people, and that's our call. It's what Christ prayed for. So the question is, do we really understand what Christ is praying for? And are we willing to take a critical look at how we do life together? Because far too often for the church, we become an institution, an organization for public worship and morality. When the unity that Christ calls us to is a unity to point to God's good gift of grace for this world. And our public worship is important. It should be meaningful. It should be moving. It should point to our belief in the triune God. And we should speak into morality in our day. But if we do that without a oneness rooted in Christ, if we do that without showing love, modeled by Christ's love for the Father and the Father's love for Christ, we will be but another clanging cymbal in a noisy, disjointed world that shows anything but unity and anything but love. On the last night Jesus had with his disciples, he loved them. He prayed for them. And he reminded them that though they could still quite grasp it, he was going away, but he was not leaving them without a chance to be one with him. He said, this is my body and it's broken for you. This is my blood and it's poured out for you for the remission of your sins. And when you eat it and when you drink it, you hold forth my death until I come again. That's a way of saying you're entrusted with the message of the gospel until I come back. And I'm coming back. for the glory of the Father. And how you live as one, as the followers of the risen Christ, conveys the message of the gospel that the world may know. May we be ruthless in our pursuit of unity as the triune God does a work in us by the power of His Holy Spirit and does a work in us collectively as His church that the world may know. Father, we are grateful for Jesus' prayer. We are grateful that through His work on the cross, the triune God can live in us because our sins are dealt with once and for all. May we live, Father, every breath seeking unity in You. May we live each breath as an act of worship that the world may know of Your great love. And may we together come around the table and affirm again our unity in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.